Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I am Dan. Jordan is unavailable today. He has had a little bit of a scheduling conflict, but I felt the absolute need to do an emergency episode because something happened that is completely crazy. Filling in for Jordan, super excited to have on the show from the Behind the Bastards podcast, Robert Evans.
Hey!
Thank you for joining me, man.
I wasn't fast enough. When you said I'm Dan, I was gonna shout, and I'm not Jordan in my best Jordan impression, but I can't do a very good Jordan impression.
We all spiritually heard you do it.
Thank you. In addition
to doing the Behind the Bastards, I recently saw that you're starting a GoFundMe to do some more combat reporting type work that you have a history of.
Yeah, conflict reporting. I've worked in like Iraq and in Ukraine, and I'd like to. I've also covered a lot of protests and stuff, including a lot of the street fighting between fascists and anti-fascists in Portland. So I'd like to be able to do more of that. And I'm putting together a 5-part audiobook on all of the intellectual origins of and all the people who have like invented right wing terror as it exists, like lone wolf terror from like fucking Tim McVeigh to that Coast Guard guy who just tried to murder a bunch of people. So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that today, that GoFundMe. I thought it was something super interesting and very relevant to a lot of the things that our listeners are into. So I just wanted to mention that up top.
Man, Alex Jones is one hell of a stochastic terrorist. He's one of the best.
Oh, undoubtedly. So today, Robert, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going over Alex Jones had Paul Joseph Watson in town visiting recently from England.
Oh. And I understand that Paul really liked the food in Austin. Was happy with his eating choices, where he chose to spend his money.
He trolled a restaurant by buying a candy bar. He is real cool.
What a badass!
Yeah, they do discuss that. I don't have any clips of that, but he was talking about how that was just the restaurant in his hotel. And like, I just was in Austin at the beginning of February. I ate nothing but brisket everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you eat anything but barbecue if you're in Austin, Texas?
It's one of the most notoriously beef cities in the country. It's absurd for him to be like, all these soy boy restaurants in Austin. Like, you made the choice.
Yeah.
But he's in Austin. And the reason – I need to fill you in on this because you may not be aware of it. But the reason that he came to Austin was he's leaving InfoWars. He's yeah. He came on Alex's show on Tuesday, I believe. No, Wednesday. And he announced that he's leaving InfoWars to start his own operation. And Alex is very sad about this.
I literally jumped and pounded my desk with excitement when you said that.
You did. There was a giddiness.
Yeah, I am not a fan of Paul Joseph Watson, and I am a fan of him having less money.
Well, I think I have a bunch of thoughts about it. I think it could lead to him getting all of Alex's sort of support. And I think it sort of spells the end of Alex being able to run an operation at all, quite frankly. Because he doesn't write most of his stories. The other people who write for him other than Paul are kind of incompetent. So, like, losing Paul would be just devastating to him. And I think he knows it.
Yeah, like you were talking, you and Jordan were talking about that earlier when Paul, or when Alex first started being like, I might have to let Paul and Roger go. And I think the general consensus was like, he'd never let Paul go.
Yeah.
So it's kind of shocking to me that that's happened.
Well,
I think
Alex started talking like that on air, like having the, I might have to let Paul go. And Paul probably was just like, why am I still here? I can do my own thing, and so I think Alex might have, in some ways, brought it upon himself with that kind of, like, you could get fired talk.
I'm super curious to know whose call it was for Paul to leave.
I think if it was Alex's, then he wants to quit. And I'm not entirely sure if that is the case, but I do think it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Because Alex saying, like, you should leave is him saying, I'm checking out and I want you to continue my legacy. Or something along those lines. Yeah.
How could you have Alex Jones say or intimate anything like that to you and not have your soul just shrivel up inside?
I mean, probably a decade of being a real principleless dick, you know?
A whole lifetime of being Paul Joseph Watson.
Yeah, it's got to build up something in you where you're just resistant to humanity. But he was in town on Tuesday and Wednesday. And so on Tuesday's show, Paul and Alex, they were, you know, being real jerks and, you know, complaining about Twitter a whole bunch. But they announced that they were going to both be on the War Room with Owen Schroyer, and they were going to do a live Ask Me Anything, a Reddit AMA. And that is what we're going to be going over today, because Alex is so fucked up. He is profoundly drunk at 4 p.m.
First off, just want to say, super excited for this, and honored that you brought me in to hear this beautiful thing that we're about to experience together.
I was going over it, like, I listened to it last night, and then as I was going over it, cutting the clips this morning, I realized, like, this is kind of sadder and more fucked up than I even remember it being last night. And last night I was like, this is so fucked up.
Oh, I'm so excited. So, all right.
Before we jump in, there's one thing that I need to qualify. And that is that Alex and Paul announced that Paul is leaving on Wednesday, but they know it. So there's an awareness that this is sort of like, we can't publicly say you're out, you're leaving, but we all know it. So that is in the room as this unspoken thing, that I think probably was part of why Alex is drinking so hard. But, there's another element too, and that is Alex recently got surgery on his arm. He was talking about needing like bicep surgery, but it doesn't look like his bandage is covering his bicep. I don't know. Either way, if he got surgery, he might be mixing booze with painkillers. And
That might be the first time that I'm on Alex's side, because I don't know if you've heard this, but booze and painkillers mix incredibly well together and there are no side effects.
I'm no doctor, but I feel like Alex's behavior on this episode might be a case study against that. So here is an out of context drop from today's show.
We have to bow down. This dude has a foot long dick and he is a liberal, so we have to worship his dick.
That should give you some sense of this man.
I just want to say, I can smell bourbon wafting from days ago through your phone, across the Skype, and across the country to my desk here.
There's an incredibly powerful stale whiskey going on here. So I'm not going to play you most of the beginning of this, because there's a large portion of it before Alex and Paul show up. And then when they do, they probably spend a good 15, 20 minutes just complaining about Twitter and talking about how Tim Pool is awesome and did great on Rogan. And I'm not interested in that. That's not a conversation I'm particularly charmed by. So we'll jump in here. This is after they've been complaining about Twitter forever. This is where they go.
This is like bleeding out. And I'll just say this. This is Twitter bleeding out on television. Like the lens you chopped on.
I wanted to start with that because I think it's an apt description of what he's doing in this episode. He will be bleeding out live on television, more or less. There's an irony.
Marvelous.
Yeah. In this next clip, Alex is speaking a little bit too loosely. And he accidentally reveals something that maybe who he's talking about wouldn't want him to say on air, or he's making it up. I'm not entirely sure.
This is the perfect moment.
You met with Don Jr. and a bunch of others this weekend. We're not name tweeting. We brought them here. But I get Don Jr. is good. Trump's good. They need to deliver now.
Yeah, this is the time. There's no better time than now, because this has backfired immeasurably.
That is, that's a little troubling. If true.
I really want to know what that conversation was about. I want to know what they said as much as I never want to be in a room with Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, for sure. If you could somehow bug that lunch or whatever. I'm not sure how much of that I believe, but I know that Alex has burned Don Jr. as being like Mike Cernovich's source on stuff before in the past. And of the people involved in the, like, Trump family, he's definitely the one I would give the most credence to the idea of, like, yeah, he let Alex fly him to Austin. So, I'm not sure.
Oh, boy. That's unsettling. Mm-hmm. There's nothing good they could be talking about. I wish I had a funny joke. I'm not as good as the voices as Jordan, but I assure you, I am shivering and making sure that, yeah, I'm terrified.
There's an intense discomfort. And I think that it, from the context of it, since they're still sort of complaining about Twitter a whole bunch, I think what they're talking about is like maybe they flew him in and they were talking about how Trump needs to make an executive order that'll force Twitter to let Alex back on or something like that. The free speech executive order or whatever.
God, it's one of those, like, a mark of how wild things have gotten that, like, if that's a thing that happens this year, if the president of the United States pushes an executive order forcing Alex Jones back onto Twitter, I wouldn't be shocked. It would be like, yeah, I mean, that's fucking 2019, right?
Yeah. That's real bad. That is true. Yeah. I feel very similarly. Like, and it would be pushed under the name of free speech when in reality it's forced. It's the government imposing.
It's literally the opposite of free speech because companies have the freedom to decide who can use their platform. Well, I don't need to explain this to your listeners.
No, they get it. So in this next clip, Alex, this is one of the few of the specific complaints that he has about Twitter and Jack and the sort of aftermath of the Rogan appearance that Jack Dorsey had. And it seems to be that Alex is mad that he went on Rogan's show and said that he wants to be friends with Jack and that Jack is like being a dick, even though Alex said he wants to be friends.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't want to be friends with Alex Jones, a man who accused his good friend Joe Rogan of being part of a horrible conspiracy and probably a pedophile?
Mm-hmm.
Great, great friend, Alex Jones.
Yeah, I love when my friends call me Sneaky Snakes.
And promise to destroy me for my many crimes. That's the real mark of a friend, is promising to destroy you for your many crimes.
Anybody can pick you up from the airport, but it takes a rare breed to...
I remember on my best friend's birthday just last year, I hid a bag of heroin in his house, and I called the police and said that he'd been locking children up in his basement. And he was like, "You're a good friend." And I said, "You're going to die in a cell." And that's what friends do.
Yeah, absolutely. So here is Alex discussing that. And I think what he's really expressing is kind of rejection. But it's just weird. It's a weird headspace.
But I'm saying to Dorsey, "Hey, just be nice. I won't attack you." And he goes on and goes, "Alex beats up children."
But you know,
it's like, what the hell?
That's the Democrats telling him what these people, they're working hand in hand.
I see your eyes getting really wide because I feel like you might be concerned a little bit.
Okay. So Dan, you're the expert here. Mm-hmm. I've heard Alex Jones drunk a number of times, mm-hmm. not as many as you, but a number of times, and that is the drunkest I've heard him sound. I'm curious as to where he lands on your scale.
I'm glad you asked, because he's this is cocktail hour. This is like a happy hour, getting off lunch drunk, compared to where we're about to go.
No.
This is relatively sober compared to the rest of the episode. This is... They would go to commercials, and he would come back visibly more fucked up.
Oh, he's just taking shots. Oh.
He's got to be. I mean, he was drinking straight Tito's vodka on Rogan's show, so, you know, he likes the taste of a liquor.
I don't know much about Paul Joseph Watson personally, but I've drunk with a number of British journalists, and the drunkest nights of my life are all – I missed a plane flight to Standing Rock because the British guy I was working with and I got so drunk that we overslept our flight by 5.5 hours. So I have to imagine that the presence of a British person here is exacerbating this enormously.
Well, I mean, Paul is sober, and he's not happy to be there on this episode at all. He seems miserable, but I do agree with you. The presence of a British person is making Alex get more drunk, but it's specifically a British person he relies on to run his business who is in town to quit. So that's definitely a piece of it. But, yeah, he's not even close to drunk yet. This is just...
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, when I told you earlier, it's a little bit sad. That's what I'm talking about. This is someone should have stopped him. Quite frankly, anybody who cares
would have stopped it. Yeah, that's the Alex Jones tagline. Mm-hmm. Someone who cares should have stopped this.
Instead, like, Paul Joseph Watson and Owen Schroyer just laugh at him. Like, it's a really disgraceful display that you see from these two dudes. But they've been talking for about 20 minutes, complaining about Twitter, all that stuff. And then Alex finally remembers that they're supposed to be doing an AMA.
Hush me up, please. We are taking care of business every day.
Oh, no.
We have Paul Joseph Watson.
Oh, no.
Not in London, but in studio with us. And as long as your question is a real question, whether it be on Reddit or whether it be a phone call, which we'll give the number out, we're going to take it for the next hour and a half. And so let's give that number out. This is real. This is not censored. You're going to talk to the PJW.
Woo-hoo!
PJ Dubs!
I do admire that he did remember that they're supposed to be doing an AMA.
Yeah.
That is admirable on some levels.
I mean, Alex can maintain. I've never denied that about him.
Spoiler alert, they don't get to the AMA for quite a while after this. But Alex remembers they're supposed to be. So you heard there, Alex is really excited about promoting the idea that his callers get to call in and talk to Paul Joseph Watson, the great Paul Joseph Watson.
Luminary of our times.
Yeah. And so he decides to double down on that and talk about how, like, do you believe it? You get to talk to Paul.
888-201-2244. We are specifically taking calls for the man known as the Goblin Emperor.
I knew.
No, but the Goblin Emperor, like secretly, you are the...
But make them fun questions, okay? No dry political stuff. We're done with that. Make them fun. Make them fun.
This is almost like Nigel Farage floating above all his children, fertilizing the fields, peeping on them.
It's almost like that, isn't it? But not quite.
I think it's exactly like
really
pollinating.
Pollinating.
Yeah.
Spreading the
massive
seed.
Massive pollination.
So... You sit here on the asset. In the, you sit, ooh, Paul, in the.
In the throne.
In the throne fortune. Of the Neanderthal god.
Captain Steve.
Throne of fortune.
Of the what god?
The Neanderthal god. Neanderthal god.
So he is the Goblin Emperor, but he sits on the throne of the Neanderthal god. Now I'm really curious, how does this. Like, what's the separation of powers between whoever sits on the Neanderthal throne and the Goblin Emperor? Because it seems like PJ Dubs is probably, like, that can't be constitutional.
Oh, certainly not. The way I hear it, I'm glad we're getting into a sort of textual analysis about this.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah.
There is something going on here. I think that it's implied that the Neanderthal throne, the occupier of that has been vanquished, probably by the Goblin Emperor. So it's sort of like the Game of Thrones, the Iron Throne is, it's, you know, from a far gone past. I don't know if that metaphor works, but,
he's saying that Paul Joseph Watson, Goblin, has successfully carried out a genocide against the Neanderthals.
Possibly.
And is now on their throne? Is that what I'm getting?
I choose to look at it this way. First of all, it's never a compliment to call someone a goblin, emperor or not. I think that's probably...
Well, I mean, I've known a lot of great goblins.
Is that right?
Yeah!
Listen, I don't know how you guys do it in the big city, but here in Chicago, not a lot of goblins running around.
I played a lot of Warhammer as a kid. I can get on board a goblin. I'm not inherently biased against goblins.
Okay, I'll put you down as a tolerant of goblins.
Yeah, goblin tolerant, I would say.
I choose to believe that what he's saying is that Alex is the one who is the Neanderthal throne bearer, or the one who sits on the Neanderthal throne. And that Paul Joseph Watson, the Goblin Emperor, is now taking his throne.
Something like that.
I know that Alex is super drunk, but I feel like that's part of what he's trying to express.
Is it conceivable that Alex Jones has honest human sympathy and care for Paul Joseph Watson and knows that his organization is going down in flames and wants Paul to be okay in the wake of it? And that's why, like, is that conceivable?
No.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I just, You know me. I'm going to try to find the best in somebody.
I appreciate that, because that's a variable or a possibility that I didn't even consider. And it there may be a piece of it in there, but I can't imagine it being even close to like his primary care. I don't think I think he would happily let Paul go down with this.
Okay.
In fact, I think he would probably be happy to somehow make Paul in charge, so when it does go down, he gets stuck holding the bag. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, the thing that I've always hated about Paul is how, as may sound ridiculous, but he's very smart. That's why he's still on fucking Twitter for one reason. Like, he's so much better at writing the line of doing a lot of dangerous propagandizing, but not getting shit canned.
He's crafty. He has that form of intelligence, whatever it is. Alex is kind of, I mean, it goes back again to the Neanderthal throne. Like, he is last year's model. He's not as good as that because Paul has grown up, as a younger man around a lot more of the technologies and stuff. So he's the Goblin Emperor.
Alex Jones was always really was at his best when he was just like ranting about kooky, crazy stuff. And Paul is an actual like fascist propagandist and is good at drumming up racial hatred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Alex is best also on VHS tapes or something like that. That's his natural niche, like people trading underground VHS tapes or something like that. Not a media organization.
Channel at 1:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm.
I just watched that documentary about the Stretch and Bobbito show. They did a underground hip hop, college radio show from like the late 80s into early 90s, and like tons and tons of people got their start like freestyling on their show. And it struck me that like a bunch of the people, their organization, once they went to like Hot 97, instead of doing it as a Columbia University as a college show, it sort of didn't have the same ability to connect with folks. It didn't have the same vibe, and it's sort of the same thing with Alex. I think, you know, that he belongs at 1 o'clock in the morning on a public access station.
Yeah, he should be a crazy person that we run into when we're exhausted and driving long distances, or just got home from a graveyard shift.
Totally,
that's. I watch every now and then some of his old UHF or whatever it was when he was on Austin Public Broadcasting, whatever that was, with like back in the late 90s. And it's like comforting almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you kind of see the feeling that I get is I'm always so afraid for him when I'm watching him, like with episodes like this where he's super drunk and maybe on painkillers. Like, I'm just worried for him. Whereas when I listened to him, back in the day, you watch those old tapes, you have mm-hmm. like, this is a guy who is nuts, but okay.
He's having a great time. Mm-hmm. He's doing what he wants to for a living. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now it's a guy who should never have stopped ranting about the aliens. And I've seen in y'all's latest episodes, it sounds like that's what he's desperately trying to get back to doing, and like the 9/11 stuff that he's promising, like, I want to get us back to this stuff when I was fun. Oh, hey, Kat.
Yeah. Celine was making a little cameo.
Yeah.
I totally agree. But he goes back to this idea. I might be making too big of a point of Alex as the one on the Neanderthal throne. But I mostly do that because he revisits the idea in this next clip. And he has a history of calling himself, Neanderthal. So, here is that.
Let's get serious. We're going to take some phone calls tonight. Let's talk about Neanderthal vision right now.
Let's do it.
Tell me about Neanderthal vision.
You tell me, Alex.
Your forte.
It's kind of my forte right now.
You tell me about it.
Yeah, he doesn't. He completely forgets that this is the conversation they're having and completely moves on.
There is so much condescension in Paul Joseph Watson's voice.
Yep.
And it's weird to feel angry on behalf of Alex Jones, but how dare you, Paul? He made you.
Totally. I feel exactly the same. And to be smugly dismissive like this of a man who you've probably watched drink all the booze he's been drinking.
Yeah.
Like, it's really shitty behavior for people who, even coworkers. That's a horrible way to treat a friend, a coworker, anybody.
It's one of those things like, you can tell there's no one who truly cares about him as a person. Like, Kanye West had his big thing a couple of years ago. Like, somebody took him into, his friends and family got him help. Like, he was institutionalized by people who cared about him, because even as, like, you know, famous and whatnot as he is, he's got people who honestly care about his health and well-being. There's no one like that for Alex Jones.
No, I think he probably, that boat has sailed, for him in many ways. And
that's so sick.
His kids aren't old enough to 5150 him, probably.
Oh boy, I'm worried about those kids.
I think they'll be all right. I mean, as all right as you can be if you're the kid of Alex Jones. I mean, I'm sure they have tons of money, tons of, like access to good education and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I do feel bad for them because they got a tough road ahead of them, but.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex realizes once again, this is a little bit later in the episode, he realizes that they're still not doing the AMA that they've promised everybody. And so he tries to reintroduce the idea.
We're going to go to break, but here's the problem. We did this show. We said we were going to take calls. We said we were going to talk to people. So we have to come back after this break and we have to talk to people that have been censored, because that's why we're here tonight. Stay with us.
So now the goal is to talk to people who have been censored, as opposed to just doing an AMA. They achieve neither of these goals.
You do really see that, like, everyone has this when you're drunk and you hit that point where you get more ambitious and you're like, we're going to go run tomorrow. We're going to go, hike in the woods. Like,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the reason I have an exercise bike in my room that I don't use.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's sad when the ambition is literally the thing you're already in the middle of doing. And
yeah,
all you have to do is answer a phone. That's rough. So, Robert, let me ask you this. Do you think that when they return from break that they get back to taking calls, or they get to taking calls?
Yeah, I'm gonna guess they get right to it, and it's productive and enlightening, and we all learn a little something.
You are incorrect. Alex complains about how everyone judges him for talking about leprechauns.
We've had a lot of game changers in this fight, and we can sit here and like talk about Easter bunnies or walruses or Keebler elves or, you know, anything else we talk about, like what do they call those things? Those little things. That Green hops around, has the little pits of gold.
A goblin?
No, those are goblins. What's the thing that hops around? Leprechauns.
Did you see some leprechauns?
I've seen a lot of leprechauns. The point is that those of us that stand against the leprechaun invasion
are being censored.
I have a little bit of fun right now. Hey, Paul, be serious.
I love that drunk moment too, when you're like, you're being a real shithead, and then you accuse someone else of not being serious.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, the problem's you.
I desperately wish there's an alternate universe somewhere where Alex Jones has never talked to a president and spends every day detailing the leprechaun conspiracy. And I wish we lived in that timeline.
It is a better present, a better hypothetical present. And think about this. You know what's wild? Alex has talked to multiple presidents. If you want to think of it technically, because I know that he got arrested or at least escorted out for yelling at George Bush at a rally.
Well,
and he claims that he knew Bush back when he was the governor of Texas. So at least he had some sort of a connection with him. So Bush, Trump, sure he's never talked to Obama.
No.
I bet he's yelled at Bill Clinton.
About that. Yeah, yelling though. I mean, I wiretapped the first or the second President Bush, but I didn't talk to him. So I'll believe he talked to W though.
Yeah, I could, especially back in the Texas days. I think that's entirely possible. Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't have wanted to talk to Alex Jones back then?
I think people who wanted to be taken seriously might have not wanted to. I mean, even back in the day, as much as he is different than he is now, he's still pretty out there and nuts. So at this point, Alex is complaining that he's been censored because he talks about leprechauns. Also, I don't know if leprechauns are traditionally green things that hop around, but
hopping isn't, not what I would have gone through.
Pot of gold is number one.
Yeah, pot of gold.
Four leaf clover, silly hat.
Lucky cereal. Charm.
Yep. Bingo.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex again realizes that they are not doing an AMA, although they have said they are going to. Here's what he says.
So let me tell you, everybody tuned in to Ask Me Anything. We're being jerks if we don't do the Ask Me Anything.
I got some questions for you right here, Alex, or we can take some phone calls.
Let's do a few calls.
Let's do both. Cause I've literally,
these people have been waiting.
They're good people.
Oh boy.
What do you want to do?
You're in command now.
Let's take some calls.
There's so much behind that you're in command now. There's so much psychodrama playing out, between the two of them that they can't open up and talk about the fact that Paul's leaving.
Wow. That's like the same tone of voice he used when Patrick Bette David interviewed him and talked about how he lost his voice for some months. And Alex was like, that's horrible. Like, it's that same, like, there's some real emotion behind that. Mm-hmm. That was a real thing. Mm-hmm. Wow.
We're jerks if we don't do what we promised. And these people who are asking questions are good people.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we must.
You're in command now.
Yeah, Paul, you are the goblin emperor. You are in charge. I am out. That's the sense I get. So in this next clip, they don't get to any questions. It's going to be a running theme of this. Instead, Alex says that he's made very strong indications that he is not as interested in Trump as he used to be. But this is pretty overt. Alex literally saying that he has turned on Trump.
Well, that's it, is that Trump has all the power in his hands and he's done a lot of good things. But the fact that he doesn't do these other decentralizations shows that at the end of the day, he's an establishment type person.
What?
And so he should be abandoned. And I'm not happy about that because I've been persecuted for supporting Trump. But, my gut is like ready to pull away. But then there's like the left and who they are. I don't want to abandon Trump because of them. They didn't run me off Trump. They didn't make me turn against Trump. Trump made me turn against Trump. And so it doesn't matter if Trump is this great thing. It's that if he's going against that, we have to turn against it.
Let's take another phone call.
Yeah.
Wow. No one even did they not at all address that?
No. They just move along. I think because they know Paul, he's fucked up.
What did Paul? Paul said something that it sounded like he was not happy with that.
He doesn't care. I think because he's very conditional about Trump to begin with. So the idea that Alex is saying these things as he's walking out the door, basically, I don't think he cares at all. And he knows that Alex is fucked up. So this whole time that Paul's sitting there, he's either laughing, condescending, or just like checked out. You hear him. He's just like, do what you need to do. That sort of vibe. That's interesting to me. That, very overtly, like, Trump made me turn on Trump. And specifically what he's talking about is the idea that he's not been able to get back on Twitter. Like, he's mad that Trump isn't putting that executive order out that will allow him to have a social media presence again. So that is what made, or at least what he's expressing is that is what made him turn on Trump.
So you're sure it's that? I mean, you heard the full context. You're sure it's that and not him talking more about, like, because they were talking, he and Roger were talking for weeks about, like, Trump needing to round up his enemies and the state of emergency to, like, is it really just Twitter and not, I'm pissed that Trump didn't fucking jail the globalists.
I think he's been mad about that for 2 years. I think that Trump's actions are also what you're talking about, I think, is a good example of it. But I think that Trump's actions on a larger scale disprove Alex's worldview. Because if Trump were a patriot leader, as Alex is describing him, then he would be taking care of all of the issues that Alex has explained, like the need to jail the globalists, the need to get me back on Twitter, the vaccines, that's shit. You know, so the fact that none of that stuff is being done, it's sort of an invalidation of anyone, even a crazy president, thinking that these are real problems.
Wow. I mean, it's kind of nice to hear him say that, because I feel like maybe he's – I hope he's speaking for enough other people that 2020 isn't a fucking disaster. I do like hearing Trump made me turn on Trump. Like, that gives me a little bit of happy.
Yeah, it's certainly something you never expect to hear. You know, you kind of expect that people are on the path that they're on. And seeing an indication from Alex, as fucked up as he is, that there is a possibility of sincerely, like, I'm done with this. It is heartening. But then you have to take a step back and realize that the thing he'll jump to is something worse than Trump, probably.
Yeah, but we got to deal with one fucking thing at a time, right?
True, true. Like... So you heard there at the end of that last clip that Owen is trying to get to a call. And so we're going to, you know, getting down to it, actually getting some questions. They don't actually take a call. They read some printouts that they have from Reddit. And here is the first question.
In fact, Paul, read those.
How about, yeah, go ahead, Paul. Read one of these. Pick which one you want.
AJ, were you a fan of Buckaroo Banzai, whatever that is?
Buckaroo Banzai.
Banzai? What is that?
Fucker.
Some hillbilly stuff that I don't know.
Some muddies movie.
Were you a fan?
The answer is no.
There you go.
All right, moving on.
Moving on.
Yeah, hard-hitting, high-stakes kind of questions being asked to lead things off. Were you into Buckaroo Banzai?
Am the angriest I have ever been.
Big Buckaroo Banzai fan over there?
Buckaroo Banzai is a cultural treasure.
I can't say that I've ever seen it, I don't think. I think that's something I got to put on the list.
It's... Have you ever wanted to see Jeff Goldblum dressed as a cowboy fighting evil alongside rock musician / neurosurgeon / rocket engineer / ninja / race car driver?
You had me at Jeff Goldblum dressed as a cowboy. I was already sold.
It's a great film.
I'll give it a spin. But it's not, as Paul Joseph Watson so derisively called it, hillbilly shit.
I can't think of a less hillbilly movie. It's like it's honestly in Alex's vein. There's a lot of weird conspiracy stuff in there. Mm-hmm. If you ever read like the Illuminatus trilogy or any Robert Anton Wilson fiction, it's like a movie that's very much in that sort of vein.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. It's like that's puzzling that he the answer is no then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Hmm. I really like honestly think Alex would have enjoyed it.
So you get another question now, and this one is someone taking advantage of the Goblin Emperor being in the room, and he asks Paul Joseph Watson a question, and his answer is troubling.
Oh, good.
Why are you so brilliant with memes? Wow. Well, most of them. That's why I'm brilliant. There you go.
Okay. Asked and answered.
Wow, that was honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you so good at memes? I steal shit.
Okay, then.
So in this next clip, Alex gets back to, one of his theories that he likes to pull out whenever he wants to impress people. And that is the issue of adrenochrome and, the elites drinking, children's blood, which of course is rooted in the deeply anti-Semitic, blood libel, the historical, smear campaign against, Jewish people. But Alex doesn't seem to think that's the case. He thinks that elites are really doing this. And he expresses that in this next clip.
People want to know what you think about Bill Gates mainlining adrenochrome.
I know that the establishment is obsessed with the drinking of children's adrenal cortex. That's mainline news. So I don't know what to say about that. Whether Bill Gates is involved.
He's a good guy, really. Come on.
Yeah, Bill Gates, William Gates.
I just know that.
Gates and Windows. That's how you penetrate.
So what's the next question?
Good instincts on Alex's part. Let's move along from that.
How many breaks has he taken at this point?
A couple. I think there's probably maybe two commercial breaks that have happened so far. And when you asked me earlier where we are on the drunk scale, this is the kind of this is how he is. Like this is the level where he's sort of seeping into this. Like, oh, it's so fucked up.
Yeah. That's heartbreakingly drunk.
Yeah. If I saw my friend like this at a bar, I'd get him a cab or something like that. Like, it's absurd.
oh, I wouldn't leave anyone alone who sounded like that, because they just, like, that's, he doesn't sound like wasted and, he sounds wasted and broken.
Yep.
That is heartbreaking.
He does, okay. You, if you cared about someone, you would worry about self-harm, in this sort of, in this state that he's, it's bad. It's pretty bad. And this next clip is where Alex tries to get some, he tries to speak through it. You know, he's clearly slurring and having long gaps in his sentences, but he tries to, let his muscle memory kick in and just talk about like ancient lore and stuff like that, weird, esoteric ideas. And I will tell you, it does not work.
It was a lot of lifetimes ago that I committed to humanity. And it was that I made that decision that I saw the whole future. And now here we are in 2019, and God is on our side. And all these enemies are attacking us because they already sold out. Paul, I'm glad you're here in Texas. And I'm glad that Owen's here. And I'm glad that we're here together. Because when I roll over dead, I want to make sure when they see my big pink belly, they know that was somebody that actually stood for justice. And that's where we stand right now. And a lot of people did a lot of stuff before us to make sure we got this far. And so that's why I'm a little upset that people don't appreciate everything humanity did. So that's where I am. Because that's where I am.
Wow. So, there was... Oh, shit.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry. There's that long pause there that tricked you into thinking you was done. But no, that's deeply upsetting.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. He seems to be insinuating that he's mad that people don't recognize how much humans have done in the
history.
Just a little silly.
I mean, I get pissed at the Ancient Aliens guys, too, when he takes credit for the pyramids away from the Egyptians, but that's not the way to express that.
Maybe there's like maybe that's what he's pissed off about.
There was a whole arc there, because at the start it's wobbly, and then he kind of hits a stride for a little bit. There's like a 10-second period there where it's like, okay, you're still drunk, but like it seems like you're pulling something together, and then right downhill.
That's what I was trying to express with the muscle memory. Like he's so used to talking about these things, about the many lifetimes and stuff like that. That's the attempt. That's when you trip on the sidewalk and you try and catch yourself. But unfortunately, he caught himself by stumbling into traffic, and he got hit by a booze truck.
Yeah, I think he hit the booze truck.
Yeah. We don't need to get the driver point any fingers at him. That's all Alex. So one of the pieces of Alex's mythology is that the globalists have been trying to buy him out, but he's unbuyoutable. For a long time, we've heard him express that sort of thing. He said, They offered me everything, the entire world. And so he gets asked about this, and his answer is kind of what you'd expect it to be, quite frankly.
Tell me, when the little green leprechauns showed up with their pot of gold and said, Alex, just come over to the dark side, how did you resist?
Whoa. Alex said at the end there, it never happened.
Wow.
I'm not sure if that's just his intoxication speaking, or if he's like feeling really fucked up about the idea that like he's been perpetrating a decades long fraud that the elites and the globalists tried to get him on their side. And he just like, I can't keep this up. It never happened.
Wow. That's just shocking.
It is. It is. Except there is a possibility, Robert, that what he's saying never happened is taking literally the question that Owen asked him. And that is, did leprechauns come to you and offer you money?
Right.
He might be so drunk that he can't think abstractly. That is possible.
So he's either too drunk to think abstractly or too drunk to lie.
One of the two. But much like you were saying about that last clip where he was wobbly and then sort of catches himself, the idea of him being offered a ton of money comes up just a couple minutes later, and Alex sort of changes his answer.
How much did the globalists offer you?
How much was in the pot of gold? How many Stetson hats?
100 million? 200 million? That was offered everything, yeah.
I could buy a lot of Stetson Rangers.
They offered me a lot of money.
Well, can
you? Obviously. What do you think? We're like running a fucking game here?
We're going to go ahead and dump that? Oh.
No, man, like, it's a real deal. They offer a lot of money. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay, chicks love freedom. Do you guys have to turn down hot babes constantly? I bet it's annoying.
Hard-hitting questions.
Wow. Do they have to turn down babes constantly?
Alex talks about how he has no problem with women, basically. That's his sort of take on it. And then Paul doesn't want to answer because he's a Christian conservative who has a girlfriend. So he seems above the line of questioning, or at least that's how he wants to present himself. So I guess they gave him hundreds of millions of dollars, or offered to?
100 million, 200 million, hundreds of millions.
There's big differences between those.
There are large debt, and there may have been three different offers.
It's totally possible. They might have entered a negotiation of some sort.
Yeah. I'd say he's still ideological, or he's still consistent. Yeah.
From earlier when he said it didn't happen?
Is Owen leaving too? Cause they're both being pretty mean to Alex.
I think he knows Alex isn't going to remember this. I think that's part of it.
And Alex never watches the content.
No, I don't imagine him having the time to do that with all the hours he puts in on air. So yeah, I think he just knows he's safe. And what if Paul Joseph Watson's leaving? Roger's going to prison. How's he going to fire Owen? That's never going to happen. He needs him now.
Oh, what a sad position to be in when you need Owen Schroyer.
Yeah, it's a tragedy for everyone involved.
Like, if I had a choice between my cat and Owen, and I was bleeding out and needed a tourniquet applied, I think I'd try for the cat first.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, it's not likely that they'll be able to pull it off, the cat, but it's possible.
It's possible.
You don't want to owe Owen Schroyer a favor.
No. Nor do I trust him to apply a tourniquet.
Certainly not. So this next clip is where we hit the point where I thought this is no longer responsible. I mean, it's been bad already. But
yeah.
Alex gets drunk on air a lot of times and says stupid shit. This is the point where I legitimately wanted to sue Owen Schroyer and Paul Joseph Watson and everyone at InfoWars for elder abuse.
I don't know elder abuse.
I don't know if Alex is old enough, but...
I mean, I'd take child endangerment. It kind of sounds like that right now.
Yeah, there's something going on here that I think might be a crime, but I'm not sure what it is. And this next clip was just like, guys, you are so fucking awful.
If you make it to Vegas, I'll buy you a beer.
Well, I would say just in general.
There's definitely a major vibe.
The InfoWars audience is huge. But, Alex, what about the vibes when you say something and put it out into the universe there?
You know, all I know is that I want to bed. We're supposed to eat. You're supposed to go eat tonight, but I'm probably going home, go bow.
That's all right.
That's really fucked up.
Bad.
Yeah. Him saying on air, in response to a question about how do people respond when you put things into the universe, him being like, I want to go to bed. The fact that they don't immediately cut the feed and be like, we need to take care of you. Like, you are you're hurting right now. It's insane. It's a profound abuse that they're enacting towards him.
He loses the ability to speak in complete sentences and then loses the ability to speak in words over the course of that, like, 20 seconds.
Yep. I want to go to bed. I respect that self-awareness, though, that he's able to come to the point where he's like, I should be in bed. I don't know why I'm on air.
It's heartbreaking that the man who is so drunk, I doubt he can stand, hits that point of realization before either of his sober colleagues do.
It's just indicative of how little they care about him, like as a person. And Alex is squinting and like really like there's a wobbliness to him. It's an embarrassment for everybody. Like I thought the Rogan stuff was embarrassing with like how drunk he got and stupid, but like this is. This is next level. Makes me sad.
Tragic.
But in the same way that Alex has the self-awareness that he needs to go to bed, he also picks up the self-awareness that people are laughing at him and that Paul Joseph Watson and Owen Schroyer are laughing at him. And he tries to express it in this next clip.
Oh, no.
Paul's are important. You know, we carry out these operations and, you know, that's the thing. It's like I think they got me, but they don't, you know, because, a certain point, everybody's laughing. This is what matters.
Who wants to spread joy right now? Spreading joy.
I want to spread joy.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
That's very sad.
Yeah, most of those weren't even words.
Nope. Starts with bomber pilots are very important, carrying out missions. Everyone is laughing.
I didn't even really hear, like, up until everyone's laughing, none of that was intelligible to me.
It wasn't even with context, really. You're not missing much.
I mean, bomber pilots are important, but
certainly.
Accurate.
I appreciate your, not impugning the noble, bomber pilots.
Oh man, a good bomber pilot. Of the things to do, bombing people is one of them.
I think Alex is trying to use it as a metaphor, but being really unsuccessful. Because he talks about himself as a fighter pilot all the time, like over globalist territory, and that's just...
God, I would... When deepfakes get good enough in a year or two, mm-hmm. I would love to see someone just completely re-edit Top Gun, but replace Tom Cruise with current day Alex Jones,
oh,
drunk.
That'd be great.
Oh, what a film that would be.
Do you think that technology will be able to capture intoxication in a replaced person in the,
maybe 3 years? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They'll hit that level.
Now I'm excited about it. Now I'm excited for that technology. The sky is the limit.
It's going to destroy democracy, but we'll get to see Alex Jones in Top Gun and Gone with the Wind, but everybody's a butt. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Small price to pay to get that. The world being destroyed. So that self-awareness went away really quick for Alex. That idea that people are laughing at him. Paul Joseph Watson's able to tell him, like, it's about spreading joy. We're spreading joy. Isn't that great? And then we get to Alex getting into the emotional part of his intoxication. And he starts, a lot of the time, I know he's fake crying when he talks about, like loving this country and stuff like that.
Sure.
I think that this is real crying. And once you see what it's about, it's even more fucked up.
How does it feel to be bullied by Twitter's lawyer, Alex?
They try to take your kids, man. They try to take my kids. They lie about me. It's not funny. And they think anything is. They think it's so funny. But they try to keep. They try to take your children away. They go on TV. These lawyers. They lie. I'm gonna try to take your kids away from you. And they think it's funny. And then if you're mad at them, they think you're weak or they think you're a bad person. It's like, I didn't do anything to this woman, whatever her name is, vagina, whatever.
Vagina good.
Vagina's good. Our day.
That is Alex talking shit about the lawyer who came along to the Rogan show with Jack Dorsey. Her name, Alex,
oh, right,
is cited as Vagina. So I would say that's doing something to her, insulting her like that. But yeah, Alex seems to think that Twitter is trying to take his kids away, which is a really fucked up, sort of way to look at the situation.
That was just really sad. That was just a man who's lost or is in the process of losing everything and realizes it breaking down in front of his friends and then realizing he does not have friends.
Uh-huh. And they're laughing at him or poking him, like Owen asked the question, how does it feel to be bullied by Twitter's lawyer? If you know Alex at all, you know what state he's in, there's a really good chance that's not going down the path you want it to. That's going to end up with him doing exactly what he just did, crying about his kids and stuff. It's, fucked up. These people are awful, awful people.
I can't believe I feel bad for Alex Jones.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those really, really weird feelings. Like, I hate him so much, but in this tiny snapshot, I hate these other dudes more. Like, they're wronging him.
Well, because for all of the many things that he is, Alex is clearly not a sociopath. And he's a narcissist. He's probably got he's definitely a narcissist. We know that. And he might have borderline personality disorder. But I don't think a real psychopath could cry about his kids like that. Yeah. That's a person who really cares about something.
Or alternative explanation, he's a sociopath who's really drunk and thinks that a normal person would cry about their kids in that circumstance. I don't know.
That seems like real crying to me, but who knows? Like, Alex Jones has been doing this for 20-some years. He can put on a face.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely does feel real to me as well. I don't think – like I said before the clip, I've heard him fake cry 1,000 times, and that seemed very real, which makes it so much harder to look at this stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's really hard because it makes people think exactly what you said. They're like, I hate that I feel sorry for Alex. But it's the reality of this.
I mean, that's important, especially for, your show is essentially – analyzing this guy and what he's doing and trying to explain him, because he's not unimportant. He has a real impact on the world and has had one, but his whole brand of what he does is so completely devoid of empathy, which is why he's able to do such terrible shit like he did to the Sandy Hook families, because he cuts that out of his work almost entirely. And you get these little snippets of it for when he's crying now, but also during when he first heard about Sandy Hook, there were those little moments where you can tell, he might feel terrible about what he's about to do, or at least he's conflicted. He does it, mm-hmm. And fuck him for that. But, there are, those moments where you can, see him cross a Rubicon in his own head.
Yeah, there's choice involved with, suppressing whatever feeling you have. Whatever, you have empathy, but you mm-hmm. ignore it in order to do the job or whatever, the mission. And if you don't, I think if people don't look at him that way, I think that it's kind of, there's a missing context to it. So yeah, I guess there is a point to feeling bad for him every now and again.
Yeah, you've got it. Otherwise you're,
But thankfully he doesn't cry for long. Although, again, if I were them, I would have said, show over. This is it. We are done. My boss is having a meltdown drunk on air. We gotta save him from himself.
I'm pissed at the cameraman for not just being no.
Or whoever's the producer. Where's Buckley? Yeah. Where's Alex's dad? His dad is the HR head at InfoWars. Where are these people who are related to him that ostensibly care about him? It's insane that anyone would let him do this.
Yeah. And heartbreaking.
But thankfully he stops crying. He gets to, I'm not sure who it is. One of the other dudes asks him a question. And this is more of a charming moment, I guess, in his drunkenness.
Why do they hate you so much, though, Alex? What is it about you that they hate?
Hard to abuse it.
Did he say, I've got music, or I like that music?
It's very reflective, and he says, I like that music. This generic rock bumper music that we're playing. I like that. I dig it. So that's the kind of drunk that you could kind of be like, I can hang out with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That part's fine.
Yeah. And especially because he even resists the, a softball, underhand pitch of why do people hate you? That's Alex has answered that question 1,000 times.
Yeah.
He should be able to do it in his sleep. Instead, no answer. I like this music. Which is pretty sweet. You heard earlier Owen saying delete that or, put the, cause Alex swore And they're still on the air. They're on the radio because it's still on the Owen's show, The War Room. And so he knows that these stations that are playing the show across the country do not allow breaking of FCC rules. And it makes it much more tragic because towards the end of this, Alex is so drunk, he just can't stop swearing. He's cursing like a sailor.
Let me tell you, I'm tired of hearing I beat up some fucking kid. Delete that. We're going to break.
All right. We're going to go to break. I can't stop swearing. He has lost control of his own abilities at that point.
Oh, probably earlier.
Probably. Wow. A little bit earlier in the show, Alex was complaining about how John Ronson, is a dick, I guess. Alex is mad that John Ronson, he thinks that, much like Rogan a couple weeks ago, Alex thinks that Ronson is a sneaky snake, and is trying to set him up or something like that. I'm not sure how true that is or what Alex is talking about, but towards the end of this, they get a call for the Ask Me Anything from someone purporting to be John Ronson. And I will let you decide whether or not this is a real John Ronson call.
Oh my.
Side though, John Ronson has apparently called into the show, and we were talking about John earlier, and Alex, you know John, so apparently this is John. We're going to find out. I don't know. The screeners are potting him up now. So John Ronson, is this the real deal, Alex? You know?
Hello, Alex.
Hello, John.
How are you, friend?
I'm good. Tell me about how small your ding dong is.
Oh, well, I'm still in Rockdale. Would you like to get drinks tonight?
My friend, I'm a little busy tonight.
I'm so lonely. Are you lonely?
No, I'm the opposite of lonely. All right, good. Get rid of that next caller.
So it's a fake John Ronson.
Yeah, who goes through like three accents in three sentences.
Yeah, it's pretty good work. And this is a good point to bring up the idea that Paul Joseph Watson thinks conservatives are getting better at comedy. And
oh man, and it's scaring the left. Yeah. That conservatives are getting so funny.
I would say that that clip is a pretty strong indication that conservatives are staying bad at comedy.
So I want to parse out here just to analyze it.
Yeah.
What the joke is.
I think it's that John Ronson has an effeminate voice, maybe.
Yeah, he sounds a little like a lady.
I think that's it.
That's a solid setup and punchline. Really complete joke.
They didn't develop the theme at all either. Like, I know you can't rely on Alex to do setup work here or anything like that, but Paul and Owen are both sober. The two of them should have been able to ask a question to elicit the comedy from the caller, who is clearly, he's willing, he's there, he's playing a character. Just ask him anything. They didn't make a reference to one of Ronson's books or anything like that. They could have made a pun out of like, the elephant in the room is that you're not, you're not really John Ronson or something. Anything.
Wow.
Yeah. It's garbage.
Nothing.
So, in this next clip, we get to see the psychodrama that's been building of the, we can't talk about how Paul's leaving, that sort of thing, that tension. It kind of comes to a head, in this next clip where Alex insists that Paul needs to repeat specific words to him, that are indicative of like taking over, his operation. And it's real weird. They're really, It's almost like he's trying to knight him or something like that. It's bizarre.
You have to take the leadership. We don't want the leadership, Paul, but we have to take the leadership. If we don't do it, radical Muslims will do it or the weird perverts will do it. You understand now? As a man, you have to take leadership. So save the world right now. I take leadership.
Where are we on?
I take leadership.
No, right now. Seriously. This isn't a game.
I'm serious.
It's real, Paul. I know
it's
you're an innocent person. You have to take leadership or someone else will say, I take the leadership,
I
Paul.
I take the leadership.
You take it?
I'll take it.
Cause if you don't, no one else does.
Oof. That's dripping with importance. for Alex.
Wow. Mm-hmm. He really seems to care about this.
Yeah. The ritual that he's performing?
Yeah, and about having someone to carry on his legacy.
I think there's a part of it that is that, yes. All I've worked for will go to, will be nothing. It'll be dust in the wind if someone else doesn't keep the fire. But there's also probably if Paul Joseph Watson is the person who takes the mantle, I might be able to still make some money off that, by being in between with sponsors or something like that. Get him a show on GCN or something along those lines. And he would have influence over Paul. Like, he'd be able to appear on Paul's show and stuff like that. So his personal journey would continue even if InfoWars went away. So I think there's some of that in there.
This makes me wonder what we don't know about InfoWars' financial or legal situation. Because, it seems like something calamitous is imminent.
Or even it could be Alex's health or any number of things. Like, there's something behind the scenes that they haven't disclosed or revealed. Yeah.
I mean, he does verge on being an elderly man, and with his level of alcohol intake.
He's 45.
Well, yeah, but 65 when you consider all the drinking.
He's spiritually 65.
And he's put on a lot of weight in the last year.
He has that super thick neck. He has terrible sleep apnea issues he's talked about. He has brain damage from childhood fights and stuff like that. He's a wreck. If he's suffering with something, I certainly wouldn't want him to continue doing this to his own detriment. But I think I have a suspicion that also part of it could be the Sandy Hook lawsuit. And it's not necessarily the lawsuit itself, because I'm not sure if they'll be able to get him on defamation or anything like that. But the stuff that they've been allowed to find in discovery, stuff like his financial records, advertising stuff, and things like that, I think he could probably be really concerned about that information becoming public.
Oh, yeah.
Because that could destroy his entire thing. Like, if there is some sort of a dark money connection that gets revealed through that discovery process, it invalidates the entirety of his career. Like, he has been someone who is paid by a special interest or something like that, some fund or foundation, and that he's not the man in the woods screaming mad profit shit. He is just another shill.
I wonder if he's gotten money from the NRA.
I don't think back in the day he did, but maybe more recently, yes.
Yeah, because he used to be anti-NRA, controlled opposition and stuff, but...
I bet he could have gotten some money from, Gun Owners for America or the Jews for the Preservation of the Firearms. Those two organizations he was really big into as gun groups back in the day. It's possible. I don't know. I think any specific theory we have is... we're not going to be able to get to the bottom of any of it.
Yeah, it's going to be something insane, Notch from Minecraft has been funding his operation for the last 5 years or something.
And the Prestige was him saying that QAnon is real. That's the that's the big public demonstration. So that's the last we hear of Alex on this this episode. He has they go to break and he's done. He's out. I think that it's a fitting, end for him on the show of being like, Paul, you must take over. You must be the leader that the world demands, lest the Muslims or perverts take over, that sort of thing. But we get one more clip of Owen ending the show, and I think he's pretty accurate about what he says.
We're going to go ahead and wrap this war room up here today on this March 5th, 2019. And, I'm sure you'll be seeing and hearing clips from today's broadcast for a long time.
Wow.
And just kind of just it's almost, I don't even know if people can understand this.
I think we can. I think we can understand. He's right. I think clips of that will be joked about for quite a while. I think that it's very fertile territory to make fun of Alex.
I feel too gross to make fun of him for most of this.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the ideas are funny to make fun of, but the struggle that he's in and the the incapacitated state and still being exploited by his coworkers and stuff.
It's the
That's hard to
utter indifference of these people that he's worked with for half a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's oof.
At least Owen just came into the fold like a couple of years ago,
yeah.
So he's not as like. But Alex has known Paul Joseph Watson since he was Paul was 19 or something like that. They've been working together since early InfoWars days. They should be family. You know,
yeah.
Steve Watson, Paul's brother, used to work for them too. Like there was a real connection there that should exist that appears not to, and that is a bummer.
It's heartbreaking.
So we have one more little out of context drop here that I think sums up this show.
Oh no, it's a car crash of a show.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Perfect. When you're right, you're right.
Perfectly said. The two guys there are very insightful. This will be talked about for a long time. And it's a car crash. Except Paul was talking about the Rogan episode with Jack, but it's certainly more applicable to this. So I don't know. We've reached the end of this, and I don't know what if you have any closing thoughts, anything you're walking away from this with.
I mean, did we see him in that walk away from the table?
No, I don't believe so. It goes to break, and then he's sitting there having said his piece. I imagine they might have had to help him up. It does not seem like he's capable of walking at that point. Oh, and I should point out, the war room ends at 5 p.m. So this is not like a late night episode or anything.
So he's been drinking since 9 in the morning then?
I don't know, because I listened to the episode that day, his show, and he's, you know, reasonably normal. I think he just got going as soon as the fourth hour host took over on his show, started slamming him back. He had an hour until the war room starts, hour and a half, 2 hours before he actually has to start this AMA. That's plenty of time for him to pound a few back.
I'm curious as to what the inspiration for this amount of drinking was, because did it really come from a place of where he emotionally wasn't sure how to handle Paul's departure, and so he was like, he just started drinking? Like, is that maybe what caused that?
That's my working theory. Just because of the timing of it and the fact that they announced that on Alex's show the next day, that sort of stuff, I think that has to be a part. It could be a coincidence. Maybe he drinks like that all the time. But it seems important, that timing.
Either that or he got some other bad news too around the same. I don't know. He definitely feels there's way more emotion out of him than I'm used to seeing. That's like not just Alex Jones telegraphed rage, but is like human.
Well, Media Matters came out with a story about This American Life is doing a story about the Sandy Hook victims' families, and it may involve Alex in some way. So he might have found out about that recently to this. And realize that, like, oh, the information that I've been lying about is going to come out to tons of people. I don't know. I think it's Paul. And I think one of the reasons is because it's not just Paul leaving. Alex is aware that he can't do this without Paul. And so when he knows he has to announce the next day that Paul is starting his own operation, and Paul says it's within a couple weeks, like, it's immediate. He's going to start his own thing immediately. I think Alex, the part of the awareness that he has is like, I'm announcing the effective end of me being able to do what I do. He overcommitted to Paul and like made him so essential as an employee that now it just, you'd need to hire 30 people to fill what that guy did for him.
He put all his eggs in one small racist British man. Yeah.
A classic fool game that no self-respecting leprechaun would do.
Yeah, no leprechaun would put that many eggs in that tiny an Englishman.
No, certainly not. So we'll see where this goes. I think there's strong indications that Alex is at least emotionally on his way out of doing this anymore. And how much of that is just his drunkenness? I don't know. But it seems like it's definitely a piece of his thinking. And I'm excited to see if that actually is where it goes.
But
for now, Robert, people can find you on your show, Behind the Bastards.
Yep.
That's on iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Spotify, wherever pods are casted, you can find Behind the Bastards. And you can find me at I Write Okay on Twitter, and I've got a GoFundMe, The War on Everyone GoFundMe, and you can help me do a big podcast thing. And
I'm super excited to see that come to fruition. I'm very I anticipate it highly.
Yeah, I am grateful for that, and I'm grateful to you for bringing me on. I'm not as good at the comedy stuff as your usual man, Jordan, but this is one of my very favorite podcasts. I was listening to you guys in the car on my way to drive to Hollywood to record a podcast today, and when I drove home, I love your show, and am happy to be your Owen Schroyer today.
I think you treated me much better than Owen treated Alex, but I really appreciate that. Means a lot, you know, your support and that you like the show, and I could pay the same compliment back. Your show is fantastic, and people should definitely check it out. So let's wrap this up. I don't know how to other than to say I guess Owen Schroyer probably hasn't killed anybody.
Yeah, Owen Schroyer probably hasn't, and I don't think – Paul never leaves his house, so I don't think Paul's killed anybody.
No, it seems unlikely, although they're sort of leading Alex down the path that might lead to his own destruction.
Yeah. You could say they're accomplices to an eventual murder.
That's possible, but for now, yeah. Only one guy has technically probably killed somebody, and that is Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.